defined in terms of the heavenly doctrines is an understanding of the word. So it's not really talking about an external organisation. It's talking about the structure and form of the human mind in relation to, in the case of church, in relation to a religious disposition. And, you know, that's reflected in our organisational speak in a lot of ways, in that we, unlike other churches, other Christian churches in particular, will speak of the Jewish church, the Muslim church. But it's not referring to the external organisation or organisations. It's actually referring to the state of mind, if we're faithful to how the writings use that term. We are in a natural body, in a material world, supposedly. But that's for another talk. And so we bring ideas that we are familiar with in our environment to spiritual material. You know, it's just how it is. It's how it is. But working with the heavenly doctrines in terms of practical work, so applying them to the life of our mind, so where it's talking about applying the word to life, well, it's really talking about applying it to the life of the mind, because that's the inside of the cup, and that is what needs cleansing. So, you know, we all have external responsibilities and we engage in this external life and with the various organisations and societies that we are a part of, and we are performing uses there. And that is a commendable thing, and it's a necessary thing, and it's something we all need to do. But the quality of what we do externally really is determined by the form of our mind internally, and that is what the heavenly doctrines are directed at, the internal life of the mind. So applying truths to life has to do with assessing the quality of our thoughts and affections in the light of the understanding of truth that we have. So that's that. So what we're going to do here is we're going to look at some terms. Well, you're going to look at some terms. Infinite, eternal, substance, form, immensity, and then maybe we'll look at these other ones: immutable, improgressive, underived, uncreated. These are all terms used in the heavenly doctrines in describing the divine. Okay? So, you know, you'll be familiar with most of those terms. So what I want you to do now is actually to break into a few groups and just arrive at a, you know, don't agonise over it, just arrive at some definitions for each of those terms. So maybe one group, two groups, three, and maybe four. That's maybe we do it that way. So just do that. Right now,
I'm not very good at this, so you better be in our group.
Okay, so how did we go? So for in terms of infinite, what do we have?
Uncreate.
What?
Uncreate. Uncreated.
Yeah.
Omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal.
And what do they mean?
Infinite.
We did without
They got without limit and no boundary.
That's what we got, without limit.
That's alright, you're allowed to have the same answer.
You didn't have no boundary.
Without limits.
No boundaries.
Did anyone have anything else?
Yeah, outside space.
outside space.
We're not in space because outside was actually space.
Very good. Outside space.
That's spaced out.
I mean,
Fair enough.
This is where the act of ordination brings about the gift of the Holy Spirit and supra enlightenment, you see. There you go.
Okay, eternal.
We got in the moment, ever present. And never beginning or ending.
In the moment, ever present, is that right?
And no beginning or end.
No beginning or end. Anything else?
Timeless.
Timeless.
Yes. Forever.
Keep it together. Timeless, forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
And not in time.
Not in time.
Yes.
Show that written on the page, please.
Outside time.
Outside time.
It's the same, but I think not in time is a better expression of it.
But you had outside time,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Once upon a time.
It's not about getting the right answer. It's all about a learning experience.
So.
No, it's not. It's all about. It's all really all about outdoing the other two.
Okay. What about substance?
Divine love and wisdom.
Ooh. Okay.
Prior knowledge.
That's a good one. Matter.
Others?
Being.
Matter.
Matter, is that?
Yeah.
Matter.
Matter.
Yeah, matter,
yeah.
Is that physical matter?
Exactly.
Why does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
it's not an adequate term.
No, it's just matter. No. Because it's physical.
Just whatever you've got, don't argue about it now. We had that when you were in your groups.
Here we go.
Killing the brainstorm.
Being. And something real.
Something real.
Yeah.
Oh, see. Something real.
And we also have qualities.
Qualities as attributes of the substance, qualities in themselves.
If we win, we had that money.
We had weight and density, which are rather
material.
We also had reality.
Yes,
reality.
As a scribe hoping to join a group one day, I would add essence.
Essence.
That brings back memories.
Good word.
Okay. Form. I'll just change colour. You're crowded at me. Form.
Structure.
Functional container.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry?
Functional container.
Can't see.
And David Moffat's one, order or design.
Can't see the red?
No. Can't see it. Helen knows up there.
Order or design.
Just because you can't read it. Helen knows what
I'm saying. Helen knows what I'm saying.
Shape.
Pattern.
Shape. Characteristic.
Appearance. Appearance of substance.
I love the appearance.
Yes.
Influence.
Yeah, there's no beginning, no end, the form.
Yeah, that's just putting another.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
it. Oh, yeah,
there it is.
Much
yeah.
of
the words.
I thought that was
the essence.
Can I put a
layer
in and
then
say fit
yeah.
for purpose?
It's
two beans. We have functional containers.
Hybrid,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, any others? Okay. Immensity.
Very large in comparison with other objects.
Relatively large.
It is true that we just wrote down infinite or omni, all those omni words we said.
Here you go.
The omni god? Yes. Someone's got that? Omni?
Omni. Yeah.
Yeah, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient.
Yeah. Any others for immensity?
Bigness.
Bigness.
Yeah, oh god, you are so big.
Oh god, you who are so big.
Out of the abysmal.
Into the abyss.
Any others? That's it? Okay, immutable.
Unchangeable.
Yeah.
Can't be changed into something else.
No. Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah.
It's far more precise.
Quick, put down, can't shut it up.
Now that's a literal version.
Did you have anything else?
Orderly down.
We wrote it down.
Is it persistent?
What is immutable, David?
Unchangeable.
That's a good word.
Impogressive.
Perfect.
Yeah,
what was
that?
That one.
Perfect.
We weren't really sure what
it meant.
That's all right.
Perfect.
What does progressive mean?
Moving.
Changing. Oh, we wrote unchanging again, yes. But then we put unchangeable before, so
unchanging again?
Yeah. So, that's what we wrote.
But it seemed to fit, though.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
They're very similar. All right, pretty much.
We talked about the difference between those two. We talked about a progression being something, yes, it's a type of a change, but it's a change with a purpose. It's going in a direction towards an end, and we just talked about improgressive. Being so, especially talking about God, the end already is.
Wow, that's
can you write all that down?
The end is realized.
So no need to progress.
So there has never been a progression.
The end.
So that complete.
It is just what it is.
In progressive mean it can't change.
I am. How about that?
That's what it is.
I am. Yes.
Improgressive means you can't change over time, and immutable means you can't destroy it.
No, you can't change it. If you've got an immutable substance.
Immutable is just
can't change gold
permanent form.
You can't change lead into gold.
That's right.
Permanent form.
And these are a bit, underived.
Self-contained.
Or independent.
Primary. What is primary? Primary. Yeah. And first cause.
Uncreated.
Source.
That one's just walked off the
source. O-U-R-C-E as opposed to tomato.
Fair shake, guys.
Door closing. Door closing.
Well, it could be next door.
Having an outside origin.
And we also got no beginning.
It's a bit like good phrase. Not having an outside origin. It's a light though. We tended to
Ruth, what's
that
one?
No beginning.
Do you need the word outside? No origin, really. Same.
Single.
Because we just got is.
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 Original.
Is.
Uncontestable.
Yeah. Okay, in terms of the exercise,
Mark.
I mean, these are terms that describe in the heavenly doctrines the divine, and the important bit is as it is in itself. Okay, so going through that process, working with these terms. So if you could just feedback a bit on the experience of doing that. I mean, the terms you've probably come across before, some maybe not, but, you know, what was the experience of doing that in relation to we're talking about the divine? How did you... Was there a struggle in it anywhere, or...?
Well, as you said, we were applying material concepts to something which really isn't material.
Okay.
I was arguing there with Joe saying about immutable, but that's a physical thing, but how it applies to anything.
Yeah. About other people's experience in doing this exercise.
Sometimes you just can't find an appropriate word.
Inexpressible? Can't express what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
And interchangeable very often, you know, which
sure.
Category to
or you sort of dance around it. You define what it is not.
Yeah. You define what it is not. Hang on to that. If you struggle, don't worry. Because the being of God, or the divine being, is indescribable, since it transcends all ideas of human thought. Thus, that is, human thought cannot grasp anything except what is created and finite. What is uncreated and infinite, such as the divine being, is incomprehensible. The divine being is being itself, the source of all things, and which must be in all things for them to exist. So there is a real struggle for us, an impossible struggle for us to describe what the divine being in itself is.
Doesn't he say somewhere that you go crazy if you try and do it?
Yeah, there's that idea. What happens, it leads it down alleyways, which, you know, Swinburne found just about drove
it's
him...
It's my brain,
drove
him, that's what I said.
Into insanity. He describes it as insanity.
If that's the case...
Yeah. What are the implications, John?
If that's the case, I mean, it's not so much the implications, it's actually how we can then, in any way, have any notion of a divine being. Okay? How can we? I know there's the kind of, you know, there is a universal law that
influx
flows into the mind of man, that there is a God and that he is one. But, you know, God is a word. How are we able to consider, hold, meaningfully, receptively, any idea of a divine being in any way if it's indescribable and incomprehensible?
Do we have
to go back to the as above, so below for that, and correspondences, and
I think that we can partly. Yeah. Because there are things in the divine which resonate in us.
Yeah, like your parents love
the experience in small ways.
Okay,
but it's very limited.
That question is based on a false premise that you have to understand the Lord in its entirety to be able to work with it. You don't.
And this is really good because this highlights the very. The very essence of one of the problems that we face when we're dealing with spiritual and celestial things. And it has a big bearing on how we understand the word. Because what you bring, the idea you bring to the divine being is reflected through everything else. The concept you hold concerning the divine permeates through every other aspect of thought and affection that you experience and hold within your mind. So it is important that the idea we carry of the divine is a right idea. But unfortunately, it's indescribable and incomprehensible. So it's like we've got this, like a Gordian knot kind of scenario here. But that's okay, because that's where it's at, and Swedenborg was well aware of this struggle that exists in this area. Now, one of the issues for us is that we bring ideas of space and time, as above, so below. Everything that we bring to what is spiritual has these overtones of space and time associated with them. And that is where our struggle lies in terms, particularly in terms of understanding the more internal things that are found in the scriptures. That's where the issue lies. So there are things, Swedenborg talks about the fact that if you want to think clearly about things celestial and spiritual, you have to be able to drop ideas of time, space, person, idea of person, place,
number.
It's another one. Any others?
Well, I'd say gender.
Gender?
Does that include materiality, as in physical substance?
Definitely does. So physicality, materiality can only be grasped in terms of space and time. Now, one of the difficulties we have is that the scriptures are written in space and time terms. So the heavenly doctrines. Okay, so you're constantly being, in a sense, in terms of the literal sense of what you're reading, whether it's the doctrines or the scriptures, you're constantly having reinforced ideas of space and time through the way things are described. You know, the Lord comes down, going up. All these terms, they're all about space and time. And the heavenly doctrines talks about distance, talks about persons. You know, talks in terms of person. But Swedenborg is very clear that if you want to understand these things, you have to be able to drop those ideas. Natural ideas, because they're not spiritual ideas, they're natural ideas. The natural is given, natural ideas are given as a launching pad into the spiritual, because they hit us at where our experience is, but they are sign that points to the reality. They are not the reality itself. So it's the old idea of the finger pointing at the moon scenario. Okay, so it's what they're pointing to that's important, not the things in themselves. People invariably confuse divine infinity with infinity of space. And because they do not conceive of infinity of space as anything other than nothingness, as indeed it is, neither do they believe in divine infinity. The same applies to eternity. They cannot conceive of it except as an eternity of time, but is manifested continually by means of time to those who dwell within space and time. So infinity has nothing to do with space. There is no such thing as an infinity of space. It's an oxymoron. And there is no such thing as an eternity of time.
Well, you sort of say, in terms of those words now, infinity is just something to describe what our mind cannot contain.
Yet, literally, do we know what infinity means?
Non-finite.
Not finite. That's what infinity means. So if infinity means not finite, what does eternity mean?
Not temporal.
Not temporal. I'll get on to the others in a minute. But those two are vital. So in relation to the divine, describing the divine, these words should inspire what the divine is not. And don't describe what the divine is for us at this level of life.
Why? With God not being in space and time itself, but those terms are space and time, are in space and time. And if the word is woven into space-time, what connection is it to the Lord outside space and time? Does that make sense?
No, but...
That's a long discussion.
Another time?
We need terms, you know? But we need to be careful about the terms, and we need to be careful about the meaning of the terms, particularly when it comes to spiritual and celestial realities. Okay, so infinite should trigger in us not spatial idea, but no space at all. Okay, nothing of space. Eternity, nothing of time. There is no such thing as an eternity of time. Okay. Because space has boundaries by definition. It has to. That's what makes space space. In terms of eternity of time, see, what happens is that if you talk about an eternity of time and an infinite space, then you confuse the terms. What you do is then you bring ideas of space and time to the divine. Yeah. And that just leads into a black hole.
Yeah.
In terms of, trying to get a handle on things.
When you sort of think spiritually, in terms of our continuing existence, right, then we tend to say there's no space, there's state. There's no time, there's progression. Okay? But those are still spatial.
Yes.
Okay? As far as finite view is concerned, state and progression lessen time and space, but they don't supersede. Thank you. They don't supersede it in the sense that you need to if you're really going to face up to the divine. But they're closer to it.
Yes. And so finite life is always progressive. It's always a transitioning of state. Nothing to do with time, but a transition of state.
Right. That's right.
Okay, and that is why time corresponds to truth in terms of when talking correspondences, because time implies progression. Understood as state, it has to do with changes of state through growing understanding of truth. Okay. Space corresponds to love or affection, because you're talking the idea of distance, if you like. It's the easiest way to do it. So closeness to another in spiritual terms has to do with the closeness of our minds in terms of our states and affections, in particular toward a particular use. Okay, so that's why those correspondences